Well, I am grateful to be gathered with you, as I always am, in the beauty of this sacred space for the worship of God, to share with you the words God has placed on my heart as we continue our message series, Scattered to the Kingdom Come, an exploration of the letter of James. Grateful for familiar faces, grateful for new friends who have gathered here tonight. I shared a couple of weeks ago the first sermon that I preached in this series. I want to share it again because in light of tonight's passage and the paragraph title that goes with tonight's passage, Live Well, Live Wisely, Eugene Peterson's introduction to the letter of James feels particularly relevant. He writes, "The letter of James shows one of the church's early pastors skillfully going about his work of confronting, diagnosing, and dealing with areas of misbelief and misbehavior that had turned up in congregations committed to his care. Deep and living wisdom is on display here. Wisdom both rare and essential. Wisdom is not primarily knowing the truth, although it certainly includes that. It is skill in living. Wisdom is skill in living. For what good is a truth if we don't know how to live it?" Such a good question for us to ponder. Let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this evening so that in the reading of the scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, your word is shown. Amen. And hear now these words from the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18 from the Message Bible. "Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourselves sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor." The word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. How many of you have heard of the get-along shirt? Okay, a couple. The get-along shirt is an oversized t-shirt that is meant to be worn by bickering children as a disciplinary method. Two children inside one shirt. Now, apparently this idea gained momentum 5 years ago when a mom in California submitted a photograph to Ellen DeGeneres' daytime talk show host, or daytime talk show, of her children wearing an extra large white t-shirt with these words written in Sharpie on the front of it. The We Will Get Along shirt. Now imagine in your mind's eye an older sister and her younger brother inside a shirt that looks exactly like this. The sister looks like, and the brother is all. That is what the picture that was submitted to Ellen looks like, and it's the very same thing that happened when I tried to get a long shirt years ago on Gabrielle and Nathan. And I tried it only once, I promise. Now, I thought of the get-along shirt because of how Eugene Peterson paraphrased James 3, 17 and 18, saying that real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. And that the development of healthy, robust community that is right with God becomes possible through the hard work of getting along. For the past several months, it sure has felt to me as if the world needs a get-along shirt. According to James, humankind's struggle with getting along stems from our bent for living according to worldly wisdom instead of wisdom from above, God's wisdom. Worldly wisdom leads to envy, selfish ambition, and lack of humility, all of which are easily seen as the root causes for many of the conflicts we experience or watch unfold around us every day. Such vices stand in stark contrast to the virtues connected with real wisdom, as Peterson called it. Virtues like charity, humility, and peacemaking. Virtues I'm sure we would all like to see more of in the world. The truth is, the only way for us to see more charity, more humility, and more peacemaking is to participate more fully in such work ourselves. John F. Kennedy once said, "Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. First, examine our attitude towards peace itself. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man." Long quote, but I admit that I have been despairing over the political, racial, religious, and economic divides in our country, to name just a few, and how they seem to have widened into chasms too deep for us to bridge. I now see that as dangerous, defeatist belief. What's more, that thinking is far beyond the starting point that James teaches in our passage for tonight. James wrote in verse 17 that real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with with others. A holy life includes self-examination, which includes our own attitudes and our own actions. So, I also admit, I have spent far too much time on social media in recent weeks examining the attitudes and actions of others rather than my own. And this has made it rather easy for me to make negative comments and to pass judgment on others. And as James makes obvious in the passage for tonight, this is not the wisdom that comes from above. The Common English Bible translates James 3, 17 and 18 this way. What of the wisdom from above? First, it is pure, and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. And so, this week I have prayerfully considered whether or not those traits are evident in my own life. And you know what? It did not surprise me in the least, and I am sure it is no surprise to any of you, that the biggest room in my house remains the room for improvement. Maybe the world doesn't need a get-along shirt after all. I know that Dr. Laura Markham, who wrote Peaceful Parents, Happy Kids, How to Stop Yelling and Start Connecting, a book I plan on buying, I assure she would agree. Because she argues that get-along shirts send the wrong message. And remarkably, her points align with James and speak to conflict in our world today. Forcing people into a get-along shirt says it's not okay to disagree with one another. Disagreements, when we learn how to work through them respectfully, treating those with whom we disagree with dignity and honor, like James suggests, can be healthy and even necessary in the development of community. The fact of the matter is that real community will never be without disagreement, because, as Henry Nouwen once said, listen carefully, community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Think about that for a moment. If community truly is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives, who is it that you least want to live with? Now, imagine being in a get-along shirt with that person. I'll be honest with you. The get-along shirt didn't seem too funny after I thought about that. So rather than get-along shirts, maybe what the world needs, beginning with all of us in this room, is to live into an altogether new season of wisdom that is pure, and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Now, those virtues might seem impossible to attain, but peacemaking really isn't so far-fetched. Every one of us can take initiative in promoting peace, helping mediate conflicts and standing up to violence, much like we saw last Thursday when Aaron Courtney protested neo-Nazism in a way that demonstrated purity and gentleness and mercy and genuineness with his hug seen around the world. That's what I'm calling it, the hug seen around the world. And for those of you who might not know what I'm talking about, Lenora did mention this on Sunday, but Aaron Courtney is an African-American 31-year-old high school coach here in Gainesville who, during Thursday's protest to Richard Spencer's speech on the campus at UF, hugged a Nazi who walked through the crowd trying to stir up trouble. Forced the man into a hug and said, "Why do you hate me, dog?" And the response was, "I don't know." And I can tell you that when I read that his response was, "I don't know," I felt compassion and empathy for somebody who, by appearances, I would not have otherwise. That hug is also demonstrative of the nonviolent resistance embodied by Martin Luther King Jr., who once said, "Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence." And this is the best part. "Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force." I can only imagine that Martin would agree that his concept of soul force matches up with James's teaching on real wisdom. If wisdom is skill in living, then we must live with purity of intention, free from bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. We must live peaceably, doing the hard work of getting along. We must live gently, which includes our self-control and patience. We must live obediently, with a teachable spirit that does not insist on our rights or our way. We must live mercifully by acting compassionately toward those who are in need. We must live in ways that are fair and genuine rather than hypocritical, or as Eugene Peterson paraphrased, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. My friends, in no way am I suggesting that soul force or a holy life that is characterized by getting along with others is easy. But neither is it impossible. The love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit make it possible. They, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one so that we might be one. When Jesus prayed for our oneness that night in the garden at Gethsemane, his goal was that the world will know that God sent Jesus and that God loves us just as God loves Jesus. The world today is watching. May it be our humble prayer that the world begins to see more of us live with soul force like Aaron Courtney and see us enter into a new season of wisdom, God's wisdom. In fact, let's pray together for that right now. Merciful God, one thing we know for sure is that the world wasn't meant to be like this. You know far better than we do that the world wasn't made for hatred and pain. You've known us from our very beginning when you breathed life into our dust and called us very good. You know just how beautiful we were intended to be. So if our hearts are breaking, surely your heart must be breaking too. Give us peace. Bring an end to violence and hatred and discord. Give us grace to admit when we are wrong and to seek forgiveness. Give us the grace to forgive. Help us see your face in the faces of the people around us. Give us courage to love one another, even when love seems like a risk. Give us compassion for those who are unlike us. Teach us to listen to those who we disagree with, to hear stories that make us uncomfortable. Heal the hatred in the world around us by healing our own hearts first. Give us peace by making us peacemakers. As there is but one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify you, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.